Our scripture reading today will come from three places. Two places in the Old Testament from the prophecy of Isaiah, and then also from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. And I'll be reading from Ephesians 6, our text, verses 10 through 20. But by way of background, I want to read from the prophecy of Isaiah. You can find the scripture readings on the back of your outlines that was in your bulletins today. The first, Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 5, and Isaiah 59, 16 through 17. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy and infallible and inerrant word. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. Then from Isaiah 59, beginning at verse 16, he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no one to intercede. Then his own right arm brought him salvation, and his righteousness upheld him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. And then from Ephesians 6, beginning at verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Thus the reading of God's word today from the book of Isaiah, Ephesians chapter 6. I invite you to follow along as you listen today on the outline in your bulletin. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, for our Sunday night class this evening, we're going to begin a new series, listening to a new series of lectures recently given by my former church history professor at Westminster Seminary in California, Dr. Robert Godfrey. Now, he titled the lecture series, What is Going On Right Now? Sex, Race, Politics, and Power. Those are the issues of our time. In tonight's lecture and the lectures that follow, this church history professor is going to make the case that he believes we're living in a moment of fundamental change in Western history. What is that fundamental change? He makes the case that we are living at the end of Christendom. Now notice what he did not say. He doesn't say we're living at the end of Christianity. The Lord Jesus has ascended to the right hand of God the Father. He rules on high. Ever since the Lord Jesus came down to earth and ascended up into heaven, Christianity has flourished, even in times of great persecution. And so we're not living at the time of the end of Christianity, because the Bible tells us that will never be. But this church history professor believes we're living at the end of Christendom. Well, what is Christendom? In the lecture series, he defines it this way. Christendom began after the conversion of the Roman Emperor Constantine in 325 AD. And ever since that time, the culture in the West has acknowledged that Christ rules in both the political and the cultural spheres. And in that sphere, Christ's rule has been acknowledged in law and cultural dominance. And Dr. Godfrey argues that is what seems to be coming to an end in Western cultures like ours. And so if that's true, it means that our culture and the world in which we now live is becoming like the time when our Lord first came to this earth. The time when the New Testament was written, it means we're now going to be more and more starting to live in a more pagan cultural environment, like the time when the book of Ephesians was written. And that means that Ephesians chapter 6, in which the Apostle Paul describes a spiritual warfare that's taking place, in which he describes what it means to put on the armor of God, especially meaningful verses of Scripture. Meaningful and relevant for all of us today. And as Christian soldiers of Christ, in order to stand up for Jesus as we just sung, in order to be strong in the Lord, we need the Lord's shining armor. And so let's begin this morning with a reminder of how the book of Ephesians began and how it ends with the spiritual location bookend. What do I mean by that? As we said in our first sermon in this series about a month ago, when you have a number of books sitting on your desk at home, you put bookends on each side to hold up the books. And for the book of Ephesians, it is a book that begins and ends with bookends. Spiritual bookend location. In chapter 1, God inspired the apostle to write to the believers in Ephesus, describing their spiritual location. As believers in Christ, they are spiritually in the heavenly realms. Listen again to what he said in Ephesians 1, verses 3 and 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. You see, the letter begins with the Apostle Paul describing to the Ephesians and to every believer, even today, your spiritual position in Christ Jesus. In the midst of a pagan culture, he wants every believer to know that when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus is yours. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places is yours. The salvation you have in Christ Jesus was because God chose you before the foundation of the world so you could be holy and blameless before him. In love, he chose you. He adopted you to be sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. You should know that you belong to him and you have a relationship with him. As sons and daughters, he is your father. You are his adopted children. And so when it comes to the forces of evil still at work in this world, as a believer in Christ Jesus spiritually, you don't have anything to fear. Because of the resurrection and ascension of our Lord, victory has been won. It's been given to you vertically in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul wrote, you stand before him holy and blameless. And yet you need to know that as you live in this world, heaven is not just future. It's not just, well, someday I'm going to go to heaven. But in the midst of a changing and increasingly wicked culture, a present reality for believers in Christ Jesus. God chose you in Christ Jesus to be his adopted sons and daughters, and no one, no spiritual force of evil can take that away from you. That's how the letter of Ephesians begins. As Christians, live your lives in this world from that vertical perspective that in the beginning, the book describes that vertical location. And now in our text today, at the end of the book of Ephesians, God inspires the apostle to bring us to the last spiritual bookend describing the believer's life in this world. A bookend location on earth. Again, as we saw last time in verse 10, the section begins in verse 10. Finally then, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. The first bookend tells you, the victory in Christ, spiritually in Christ, you're already saved in the heavenly realm. The second ending location bookend tells you what you physically live on this earth as a member of the Church of Christ. The devil is still scheming. What do we mean? Well, the first bookend tells us the war is won. Christ rules. But think about it this way. Think about what happened when the United States conquered Iraq. The battle was won, decided. But there were still pockets of resistance. It still wasn't safe for the conquering soldiers in enemy territory. They were attacked in unexpected ways. So did the Lord Jesus, by way of his death on the cross and resurrection from the grave, win the war against Satan. But Satan and his spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, they're defeated. They know it. The Lord Jesus Christ has ascended on high. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. But God tells the Apostle Paul, inspired by his Spirit, to write to the first century readers and readers of today that even though we have that spiritual victory, Satan continues to attack. And that's what this last bookend is describing. Life in this world. He's letting us know, he's letting the church know that though the war has been won, the Church of Christ on earth is in occupied territory. There's still danger. There's danger. The forces of evil at work in this world to divide and attack your spiritual life in Christ in unexpected ways. In Ephesus, Satan did not want believers to go to the Church of God and worship. He wanted them to go back to the temple of the false goddess Artemis and participate in sexual immorality and worship of the false goddess. He doesn't want believers today to go to church. And even though the devil knows he's defeated, he's going to find your weakness and attack the Lord's church. And that's why you don't want to fight this battle as an individual or somehow think you can fight it in the flesh, but as part of the Lord's church, as the army of Christian soldiers. And that's why he starts out this ending bookend in verses 10 and 11 saying, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. If this is the spiritual battle that we face, where do we find the strength from the Lord to fight it? In these verses, God inspires the Apostle Paul to draw them upon the imagery of the armor of Christ. Now, for the scripture reading this morning and on the back of your outlines, I've put a couple passages from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 5. Isaiah writes, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and for a branch from the roots shall And a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. The stump of Jesse. Jesse was the father of King David. And from the line of Jesse and King David came the Lord Jesus Christ, the stump of Jesse. He goes on, Isaiah writes in verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide the equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Isaiah is describing the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those verses are quoted in the Gospels and identified with our Savior. But then look at verse 5. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. Do you see the similarity in the language? It's not exactly the same, but the similarity in the language of the Apostle Paul and what he writes about the Ephesian believers in chapter 6. The words are not exactly the same, but the Lord Jesus first had the righteousness belt around his waist. And then in Isaiah 59, in describing the coming of the Lord Jesus, again, in that chapter, Isaiah wrote, he saw there was no man. He wondered that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm brought him salvation, and his righteousness upheld him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. This time the wording is the same. And do you see how God inspired the Apostle Paul to draw from the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah, from God's Old Testament word, to describe the spiritual armor that the Lord Jesus Christ wore? And how at the end of the letter to Ephesians, the Apostle Paul uses the same vocabulary to describe how Christ has put that armor on every believer in Christ that lives in this world. And so if Dr. Godfrey is right, that we're living through a fundamental change in Western history, the end of Christendom, if it's true we are going back to the pagan culture of the first century of Christianity, to the time when the book of Ephesians was written, we look at what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians concerning the spiritual battle that we too face. And we recognize the armor of God that Christ has put on every believer. He calls the soldiers then, the soldiers of Christ, to stand firm. In verse 10 of this text, we read, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. As a soldier of Christ, you must first acknowledge you cannot fight the schemes of the devil, the rulers, the authorities, and the spiritual realms. You can't fight the cosmic powers of this spiritual darkness with flesh and blood. If you try to fight the change in Western culture with lawyers and politicians and even physical weapons like guns and tanks, you won't succeed. But in order to stand firm as Christians against it, you need the spiritual armor of God. Look again at verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. The evil days, he's describing. There's an evil day in the future, but the evil day is present day, is the wording. And having done all, to stand firm. He carries that thought in to verse 14. You see how it's connected together? Having done all, to stand firm. And then verse 14 starts again. Stand therefore. Notice he doesn't say, okay, as a soldier, let's march, let's attack, let's get the soldiers together and fight against all this evil in the flesh. He tells God's people who live in this world, in a pagan culture, to stand firm in Christ. Remember the first bookend? The Lord Jesus Christ has already won this battle. In him, you've won the battle too. Spiritually, you're in heaven. You're one of his children. He's elected you. He's chosen you. And now, he's given you the armor that the Lord had to every believer. And that's why in Christ Jesus, you can stand firm in a pagan culture. And then by way of the armor, he goes on in the verses that follow to remind believers, piece by piece, the details of the armor of Christ that's been given to every Christian soldier like you. Well, what is that armor? The spiritual armor of the Christian soldier, the description begins in verse 14. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. For the Roman soldier in Paul's day, the belt held the entire uniform and the armor together. The belt that was strapped on held it tight, held it firm, all the other pieces held together. But for the Christian soldier in this world, the belt, the Apostle Paul, inspired by God, has been given an extra description. It's not just a belt. It is the belt of truth. The belt of God's truth that holds everything together. In the culture of the first century when this letter was written, in the culture of our day, there is so much disinformation all around you. Just think about some of the things we have recently gone through. In the midst of a medical warning and alert about a virus, so much disinformation about what you should do or should not do. Do masks help? Some say they do, some say they don't. Does vaccination help? Some say they do, some say they don't. Which medical expert do you ask and believe? Which news report do you listen to? It gets to the point where you don't know what or who to believe anymore. How do you know what is true? How do you know what is not true? And Satan's spiritual attack is to draw you away, to confuse you from God's truth. And that's why the call of the Christian soldier is to stand in the midst of all of that, fastened with the belt of God's truth around your waist. It holds everything together. And it means, as a Christian soldier, you want to know God's truth. It means you make it a priority in your life to belong to a church that teaches God's truth, where other believers know and believe in God's truth. It's where you join together with other Christian soldiers that share in the love of the truth. It's not just an individual knowledge of the truth. It is an army, the Lord is describing here in Ephesians, of believers who know and love God's truth. It means you spend more time reading the Bible than you do searching the newspapers or the internet for truth. It means that as believers who live in a pagan culture, you make it your calling as a believer to study and know more and more about God's truth, so that in a world of disinformation, your life is filled with God's truth, and when strapped on, it holds the rest of the armor together. Well, then, as God inspires the Apostle Paul to go on, as he describes the other pieces of armor, you know about that armor from God's truth. The end of verse 14 says, and describes a second piece of armor, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. For the Roman soldier, the breastplate was worn over the chest for protection of the heart. A wound to the heart for a soldier would be fatal. But again, notice the description given to the breastplate for the Christian soldier. It's not just the breastplate of righteousness. Like a breastplate over your sinful heart, Christ has given you, as a soldier of Christ, perfect righteousness. You see, one spiritual attack that Satan is going to use to bring upon the believer is he starts whispering in their ear, "Hey, sinner, you did that terrible sin a long time ago, no one knows about. Look at that sin. No one's as wicked." And he whispers in your ear, "Christ won't forgive you for that sin. You're not a Christian soldier." Satan is the accuser. He'll accuse the Lord's people of all kinds of wrong, your deeds, your thoughts. And in the midst of a pagan culture, he tempts you to sin. He wants to draw you away and draw you into thinking and living a sinful life. But because you have the breastplate of Christ's righteousness, you take your confidence from the forgiveness of Christ and the righteousness that has been given and imputed unto you. It covers your heart. You're called to live out then that righteousness of Christ which has been given to you, the breastplate of righteousness. The third piece of Christian armor is described in verse 15. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Roman soldier of Paul's day didn't wear just shoes. He wore boots. If the Roman soldier wore boots, why does the Apostle Paul say that the Christian soldier wears shoes? Because the shoes would indicate that what the Apostle Paul is describing with a Christian soldier is everyday life. The everyday life that a believer lives. But now look again at the wording of the description. It doesn't just say shoes in verse 15, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Many commentators like to argue that the readiness of the shoes means that as a soldier of Christ living in a pagan culture, the Christian soldier moves from place to place, sharing the gospel with peace to everybody he meets. But that interpretation, moving from place to place, is against the instruction to stand firm in verse 13 and 14. What does it mean? Shoes for your feet are what every believer, every Christian wears when you live in a pagan world, going from place to place in your everyday life. And when the Christian soldier puts on the shoes of, the verse tells us, the readiness given by the gospel of peace, it means that you are ready for whatever comes your way because you have peace with God in your life. Your sins are forgiven. As a believer, you've been given salvation in Christ forevermore. The righteousness of Christ has been given to you. So you don't live your life every day in fear and worry over what happens to you or what might happen to you. We have seen so much of that in recent years. You can sometimes tell the difference between a believer and a non-believer based on their level of fear. But as a believer in Christ, wherever you go, even in a culture hostile to you, in the gospel, whatever happens to you, wherever you go with your shoes, you have put on, the verse says, the readiness given by the gospel of peace. You're ready, you see, because you know Christ, because your sins have been forgiven, because, as he tells us at the beginning of Ephesians 1, you're spiritually already in heaven. You've been elect. You've been chosen. Nobody can take it away. So you live your life, going about your daily life with your shoes on your feet, with a readiness given by the gospel of peace. A fourth piece of armor for the Christian soldier is found in verse 16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. The shield of faith, the shield of the Roman soldier, was often used to put the shield up to defense against rocks that were thrown at them. Spears that were thrown at the army would bounce off of the shields. Sometimes if the shields were up, the enemy would then shoot flaming darts or arrows to try to dart the soldiers on fire, because of the shield, if the dart or the arrow was not able to penetrate the soldier. But notice the soldier of God, the description is added to the shield of faith. In the verse, it starts out, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. The spiritual attack on the Christian soldier is that when it seems your life in this world is falling apart, when it seems that Satan wants you to think that God doesn't love you, or things aren't going well in your life, and somehow that God isn't there to lead you and guide you, otherwise this wouldn't happen to you. When Satan wants you to think, well, you can't trust God in your life, you don't really want to think that God is sovereign and control. He wants you to doubt. He wants you not to look to God and trust in Him. But for a believer, the shield of faith means that you know that the Lord Jesus is in charge. You know that God loves you, even when Satan tries to tell you and make you think different. In all circumstances, you have a firm shield of faith against all the flaming darts, some translations say flaming arrows, that come at you. And in the shield of faith, the flaming darts of the evil one are extinguished. Verse 16. Well, that leads then to the fifth piece of armor found in verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation, The helmet of the Roman soldier was to protect the head in battle. But for the Christian soldier, again, description, the helmet is given an extra word of description. The helmet of salvation. That means the Christian soldier knows what the Apostle Paul said at the beginning of this letter. A Christian soldier lives his life in this world. He knows he's elect. He knows he's chosen. In his mind, he has the helmet of salvation as he lives in a pagan culture. Salvation in Christ. You're not afraid of what's going to happen. You're not confused about the outcome. You have the helmet of salvation. That's already been decided, and that's how you live and focus in this world. And finally, after giving us all these defensive weapons for the soldier of the Lord, God inspires the Apostle Paul to end with a weapon to fight back. Verse 17, and the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God. For the Roman soldier, he took up his sharp sword to fight off his enemy. But for the Christian soldier, his sharp sword, the description given is the Spirit, sword of the Spirit, and the sword is the word of God. How to use it? Remember what the Lord Jesus said when he went into the wilderness? Satan tempted him by twisting the word of God. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. And he didn't do it. If you are the Son of God, though you throw yourself down from here. And he didn't do it. If you are the Son of God, fall down and worship me. And each time the Lord responded to Satan's twisting of the word, quoting the word of God. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God. In the midst of a culture of false information, you as Christian soldiers must know that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. It is the weapon of truth that Christ has given us. When all kinds of false information comes your way, you look to God's Word for an answer to what does the Bible say? What does God say? Is the Word of God being twisted and turned so that I'll follow or believe what somebody wants me to believe? You respond to whatever comes your way by reading the Word, by knowing the Word, by reminding yourself of God's truth. And that should be how you respond in the midst of a pagan culture. Well, that brings us back to where we started the sermon this morning. It's true, we've reached a time of fundamental change in Western culture. We're all talking about it. The end of Christendom. And if it's true that in the culture around us, the spiritual forces of darkness are more and more coming out of the shadows and getting more and more pagan, if it seems that the spiritual forces of darkness now, we can see it more around us. How can we stand firm in the midst of all? God inspired the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6 to describe the armor of a Christian soldier. You know, as a soldier of Christ, that Christ has already won the war. And in order to stand firm, know that the victory that he has given you as Christian is a victory that is your shining armor that will enable you to stand firm as a believer built on the foundation of his word and truth. And know that in Christ Jesus, you will stand firm in him. Amen. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you today for the description of the Christian's armor in Ephesians chapter 6. Lord, we rejoice that as believers, we take confidence not in our own flesh or our own ability, but our confidence comes from you and from the victory that our Savior has won. We pray, Lord, as we live in this world, that our hearts, our minds would be focused on you and your truth. Lord, when so much disinformation comes our way, remind us what your word teaches us. Instill in us a desire to know your word more. instill in us a focus to know that you are in charge and that our Savior has already won the victory. Father, we pray that with the sword of the Spirit in our hand, we would know the truth and speak the truth in such a way that others too would come to know and understand the wonderful salvation of Christ Jesus. Help us to be faithful soldiers in such a way that in the midst of all the darkness around us, the light of Christ and the glory of heaven would shine forth. We pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.